Good evening and welcome to our Ash Wednesday service this evening. I want to take just a second to introduce our guest organist tonight, Gail Boyd. We were all excited because Gail had contacted us about wanting to do some substitute work, and now we've just found out she's been hired full-time. So Gail will be the organist at St. George's Lutheran on Main Street. Let us begin this evening with the greeting as it is written in your bulletin. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. His mercy endures forever. Let us join our voices together in the opening prayer. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Next item you'll find in your order of worship is a responsive reading of the Ten Commandments. These come from Exodus 20. I invite you to join me. God spoke from the mountain and said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall not murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal.
You shall not bear false witness.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, Moses was given that law and passed it on to the people. And when the people were gathered together, Moses told them that God had offered them a promise that if they obeyed and kept God's covenant with them, that they would be God's treasured possession and they would be led to a place that would be their home, and that their descendants would be more multiple than the stars. And when the people heard this, they said, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The people of Israel there in the wilderness made a covenant with God that they would respond to God as God had responded to them in love and care. Moses went back up the mountain and started to gather the law for the people, not only the Ten Commandments, but many other laws that would regulate what would happen in their society. And after a while, the people got a little bit nervous. And I want to read to you what happened. And this comes from Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to read the story. It's the first 24 verses if you want to follow along. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. For as for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with the tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them from off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." And Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned. And he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf that they had made and burned it in the fire, and he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. And he said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, 'Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off.' Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow. You got to feel for the people. It is, they waited a long time. And Moses had been with them along the way. And where you might say they just had this thing come over them that they had to have another kind of God, in reality, the type of God that they were creating in the calf was actually more common than the God that Moses was asking them to follow. A God that was on the move, a God that from whom they had very little control. And so to build the calf echoed back to their time in Egypt, but in addition to that, it echoed all of the peoples that were around them. It was something that would bring them comfort in a time when they had felt abandoned. I think it's interesting to look at this and to consider God's promise and the human promise connected to it. God promised that he would be with the people. And as the story goes, God realizes that down underneath the glory, this cloud that Moses was in, the people had turned and had begun to worship another thing. And when he said that he was going to let these people go, they were just too fickle, too stiff-necked. Moses made a plea for them, and God relented. And yet, when Moses went down the mountain, it was more difficult for Moses to relent and to be forgiving. And in his anger, he smashed the law. Now, I wonder if people who were there might have picked up a piece of that tablet. And you have pieces of tile with you tonight. If they might have picked up a broken piece of that tile and thought of God's own hand written on it. Now, the laws that were written were not so much to create some kind of penal structure for the people of Israel. But they were coming into a new land, and they were going to need some way to organize themselves. And they also would need something that would create a new identity, that would separate them from other groups of people. And so Moses received not only the Ten Commandments, but a series of rules that would be helpful in establishing that community. And at its very core, at its very center, was this covenant, this promise between God and God's people. I will care for you, and you will love and follow me. So, I don't know if you've ever broken a promise. If you're like me, you have. I think that sometimes promises are pretty easy to break. We take them pretty lightly. My niece, when I was taking two nieces shopping, one was in middle school and the other one was 7 years old, and we were looking for just the right pair of jeans for the middle schooler. And we went from one store to the next, and the 7-year-old was getting pretty agitated. And so I told her, I promise you, this is the last store. But it wasn't. And so we had to go to the next and the next. And as we went, her bottom lip just jutted out, and her little arms were crossed, and she had that dark cloud hanging over her head. And she told me, as I started to head for the next door, you promised this would be the end. Sometimes those kinds of promises are easily set aside. Sometimes the promises that we make are implicit, and while we don't promise, people trust that we will do what we'll do, and they're disappointed, and perhaps trust is lost. Now, in the case of my nephew Brian, he lives with autism. He's a young adult now, but I remember that when he was a child, if you said, we're going to go and get in the car, and we're going to go to Meijer, and then we're going to go to McDonald's, and then we're going to go to Grandma's house, if you varied that plan in any way, you heard about it. I mean, like, he'd go crazy. Because we had given him the plan, and even now as a young adult, he needs to know the plan for the day and the structure. And so there's almost this implicit promise that comes that he trusts that the structure will go the way that he's been told. In our lives, we make promises. We may even say, yeah, I'm going to get the garbage out. Yeah, after work, I am going to stop and get that. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. We make those guarantees, and things happen, and we forget, and we set those aside. But sometimes the promises that we make and the promises that are made for us take on a more serious note. I mean, we look at the world and promises, and even in the settlement of our nation, we know that the treatment of Native Americans from the very beginning, when white Europeans landed on the shores, have been a series of broken promises. And so we know that those promises are there, and we hear about truces and ceasefires. I was hearing about some type of ceasefire agreement that was in the Ukraine, like over the weekend, but was completely ignored this week, that we see those kinds of broken covenants and promises all over the place. And so we understand nationally and globally what it means to break promises. And often, promises will come home to roost as well. Now, for some of us here, these last 8-9 years have affected our pensions in difficult ways. And many of us have put in time and work, given our time to a company, assuming a promise. For some of us in education, it has to do with the promise in taxes and our pensions. But in different ways, our understanding through a promise for our retirement has been broken, and we've been affected by that. Other promises stretch out in our lives. Some of them have to do with friendships perhaps we had a friend at some time in our lives and we said, this is the one that will stay with me. And we promise to check in on each other and support each other, and then through neglect and time and distance, through busyness and perhaps misunderstanding or conflict, those friendships are done. And we find ourselves, any promises we made are not fulfilled. And we also know that promises are complicated by life. Life is complicated. Some of us have made promises in marriage, or we have friends and family that have made them, and we have not been able to keep those promises. And when we're in that situation, we know that it's not a simple thing, that there is a whole story, and the story is different for every person. But in that, we live that understanding of broken promise, of broken covenant. And so the people of Israel find themselves in the midst of that type of brokenness. Now, in hindsight, we can remove ourselves and look back at the people of Israel and say, what were they thinking? I mean, all they had to do was just follow these commandments and everything would have been fine. But I think that when we look at the core and understanding of what the commandments are about, that we understand how we can drift from that as well. The Ten Commandments are not the end-all, be-all of the law. In whatever society we structure, there's going to be more than those Ten Commandments. But there is something at the core. And if we're going to break this down even further from the ten, we could actually talk about the two. Jesus did. When one who followed Jesus asked, who was thinking of following Jesus, asked, what are the greatest commandments? Remember, he had two. One was to love God, and one was to love neighbor. And the Ten Commandments, if you go back and look through your order of worship, you can see those two commandments highlighted in the ten. To not put other idols before God, to not use the Lord's name in a wrongful way, and to remember the Sabbath are all ways of loving God. The first two are obvious, that God is first, not other things. That just as we would not take the name of someone who is our beloved, someone we deeply love, and dishonor their name, we wouldn't do that to God either. The third one around Sabbath is finding a time to honor God. Now, what we've done, especially in the 20th century, maybe not so much the 21st, is we got this notion that honoring the Sabbath meant following a set of laws. And some of you may remember when you weren't going to find anything open on a Sunday, right? Because you know that you had laws about that, or you had guidelines about that. But Sabbath isn't about keeping a particular law. Sabbath is about finding space to rest from the regular cycle of the week, and to remember creation, to celebrate all God's good gifts, and to rest. Worship is a good thing on the Sabbath, but so is sleep. So is dinner and meals with friends and family. So is intimacy. All of those are God's gift, and they are Sabbath gifts. And when we honor what God has given us, we honor God. And so we begin with that, and those are the commands that are listed first. So we love God. And then the next, they're all commandments about loving people and caring for people. That we honor our mother and father, not kill, not commit adultery, which is breaking covenant with another, not steal, and not bear false witness. Now, if you read the commandments, it's not just lie. It's more specific than that. It's bear false witness. It's lie in testimony against another. So again, it's a commandment to keep goodwill, to love neighbor, and then not to covet what a neighbor has. So these commands all together have to do with loving neighbor deeply. Now, the commands are a struggle. And I suppose that from the day that Moses marched down the mountain in anger and smashed the tablets, he could have marched around smashing tablets every day. And probably if he was here today, he could march down Mount Brighton and he could smash them again in his anger. But we've got a couple of good things going for us. First, we understand from this that God is faithful and God relents and God hopes the very best for us. And the second thing that we have going for us is that we still have this covenant before us. We still have this opportunity. And I think that Lent is a fabulous time to reflect on this. From this evening service and on through these next 40 days and the Sundays that are included, we have an opportunity to reflect on our promise and God's promise for us. I've given you, each of you have a tile. You can thank Loretta. Loretta had a fun time creating these for you. Be careful, they're a little bit sharp, but we intentionally wanted them to be sharp. If you are creating a space for a Lenten devotion, if you have a place somewhere in your home where you reflect in the evening, in the morning, maybe your kitchen table or your bedside table, I invite you to put this broken piece of tile there. And each time you come across it in this Lenten time, I invite you to think about God's covenant. God's covenant to love us and to not let us go. And perhaps think about our brokenness in that. The times when we have not loved God. The times when we have not loved neighbor. Or our family members for that matter. And that God calls us in that loving relationship. And I would invite you also to remember the presence of Jesus Christ in this. As we now continue into this Lenten observance with the imposition of ashes and with Holy Communion, this is a time of reflection, of asking for forgiveness, of repentance, of turning, and of celebrating that God, through Jesus Christ, is faithful. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection, and it became the custom of the early church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism and entrance into the church. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penance and forgiveness, and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer. If you would join your voices in the prayer of thanksgiving over the ashes. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. We want to invite people forward as you would like. We're Pastor Paul and Deacon Loretta and I will all be having ashes, and it's a burned palm from last Palm Sunday mixed with a bit of an essence oil, and you can receive it on your forehead, but if you would prefer, just put a hand out and we will place the ashes on your hand.
Please join me in our prayer of confession and pardon found inside your bulletins. O God, may the measure of your eternal love be the measure of your mercy, and may the measure of your mercy be sufficient to blot out my great sins and cancel out the guilt of my wrongdoing. I have failed, O Lord, and my failures weigh heavily upon my heart. I cannot share them all my brothers and sisters, lest they weigh too heavily upon them. But you know what they are, O God, and how far I have fallen short of your standards and expectations. I know that nothing can be hidden from you. I can only acknowledge my indictment and accept your loving forgiveness. Purge me of my guilt, O Lord. Heal the hurts of those who have been afflicted by my failures. Revive my flagging spirit, O God. Restore to me the joy and assurance of a right relationship with you. Reinstate me in your purposes and help me to avoid the snares and pitfalls along the way. Let us take a moment of silent confession. May the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from our wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen. At this time, let us offer one another with signs of reconciliation, love, and peace. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and merciful God, on this Ash Wednesday, we give you thanks because each and every one of us has broken a covenant, whether it be with you or with our friends, family, and our neighbors. Lord, we are people who are a work in progress. And despite our faithlessness at times, and despite our broken promises, God, you are faithful, and you are faithful to your promises. God, you are faithful that you offer us forgiveness and mercy and second chances. God, we thank you because of your faithful love and strength that goes with us, whether we recognize it or not. And so on this day, Lord, we offer our gratitude to you. And we lift up this prayer as we pray the prayer that your Son taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us go now as a people who are loved deeply beyond our imagination, as a people who are called to love, as a people, while broken, are held up and cherished and offered mercy and grace through the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.